last one. We're wrapping up our study here of the book of Revelation. We actually started more than a year ago when Jim and I started to look at different pieces of Revelation. And who was going to talk maybe on why. Now, we looked through in the past few weeks, we looked through 20 so chapters. And in doing so, we've seen the judgment upon the earth. We've seen some things that may have surprised you were in there. Hopefully it made you think about some things you've been told versus what the Word says. Maybe helped you figure out there's a lot of heresy out there on what is to come in the end of the world versus what's actually written in the Bible. Well, we finished up last week with the last stand, Satan, the people from the colon of the millennial, the 1,000 years, and their ultimate defeat. Now we're going to start studying what lies ahead after that point. And we heard about heaven and earth fading away. The old earth that we're on today won't be in existence anymore. The heaven that we're thinking of that's in position today, it won't be there either. They're replaced with a new heaven and a new earth. So let's start there. Revelations 21, verse 1. I know we read it last week. We're going to read it again this week and we'll pick up from there. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Now I read to you from Hebrews this morning, and it talks about you're coming to a mountain. It's not the mountain that was in Moses' time that everyone was afraid of. The mountain that should even an animal touch it, but you killed. That's not the mountain we're coming to. We're coming to the Mount Zion. We're coming to the unshakable mountain. We're coming to the final city, the New Jerusalem. Everything else, the old earth could be shaken. And God shook it. He shook it well during the tribulation. But this new heaven, this new earth is unshakable. And this place that's prepared for us is permanent. It's indefinite. It doesn't fade. When it rains, the bricks don't melt. It's everlasting. And it's no longer set apart from us and God, but rather us together with God. Said, he will dwell with them. We won't have to travel to see God. We won't have to search him out. He'll live with us. Verse 4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Now God calls that out. And it's easy for us to think over it and go, okay, well, there's no more pain, no more death. You know, death and Hades have been cast into the lake of fire, and they're no more. But from God's point of view, until Christ became man, he hadn't experienced them. But when Christ became man, he knew what death was like. where he died and rose again 3 days later. He knew what sorrow was because he had lost friends while he was there. He knew what crying meant because he wept. And he knew pain, what they did on the cross. So those things were important to him. Because he experienced them only when he was a man. So that it would mean something. When he says, there isn't any more. Verse 5. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, and not abominable murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, we see the word cowardly in there, and we think, oh gosh, there's times when I'm afraid. But that's not what this is meant by the word cowardly here. You know, he talks about those that overcome, you get your reward. The cowardly that he's talking about is those in the end days that are so cowardly that they don't choose to stand on their belief in Christ, but they go ahead and take the mark of the beast anyway because of their cowardice. They know that it's wrong, but they don't have the bravery to stand on their conviction. That's what they talk about with cowardly here. We know what's happened to the earth as far as those that rebelled against God. They were thrown into the lake of fire. So what we have left here are those that have chosen Christ. Verse 9, and one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. I'm going to back up a second. Back on verse 8. Make sure this is clear. If you're of the belief that there will be others in heaven, that somehow, through some other religion, made their way there, but the cowardly, unbelieving, and abominable. Also lists idolaters in there. So the cowardly are those who wouldn't stand for Christ in the end. The unbelieving are those that don't believe Christ was who he said he was. And the abominable, those are the ones that take league with the beast. Idolaters worship someone other than God. Anyone that falls under those categories, it says they will take part in the lake of fire. We got to go back to words like, write these words for they are true and faithful. If we believe that God tells the truth in his word, we truly believe any sentence of it, like if you believe that you believe in Jesus Christ, you'll go to heaven. Then you've got to believe just as much any other sentence in the Bible. When Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one goes unto the Father except through me. If we choose to believe any sentence in the Bible, and we choose not to believe that sentence, then it's not true and faithful. If we believe that there's any other way, we might as well not believe any of it. Maybe like Paul says in Corinthians, we're the most pitiable of creatures. So if you've got it in your heart or your mind that somehow God's going to let those that don't believe in Jesus Christ in, then you're saying the words are not true and faithful. Now back to verse 9. Then one of the same angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked to me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. This is the mountain we read about in Hebrews, the unshakable mountain. This is the Mount Zion that's prepared for us. And he showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of the heaven, out of heaven from God. This new Jerusalem descends out of the new heaven, because the old earth and the old heaven have passed away, and the new heaven and the new earth are there. And this new Jerusalem comes down out of new heaven onto earth. You know, we have images of when we're in heaven, we're going to be playing harps on clouds. That's not the description here. A new Jerusalem, a city, comes down onto an earth. There isn't a sea anymore. But there's solid ground here. There's mountains. Descending out of the heaven from God. Having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone. Like a jasper stone. Clear as crystal. Now, earlier we heard the word jasper several times over in Revelation. What stone do we equate to jasper now? Diamonds. So this city is like diamonds. Clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. So you have New Jerusalem comes down and has gates. So what does that tell you? Why do we even need gates on a city? Protection, right? Could we just have a wall all the way around with no doors and still have protection, though, right? A way to get in and a way to get out. So there's going to be a freedom of movement allowed. We can go into the city and we can go out into the new earth. Otherwise, there's no need for gates. There's angels at each one of these gates. Now, the wall of the city had 12 foundations. It's not floating on a cloud. It's got foundations. And on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb who had talked with me. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and the walls. See, each one of the apostles gets a foundation underneath this city. So at any time we come in or out, we're reminded of what the apostles did to help capture the word, to help teach the word, to help diligently write it down for us so we would have it, to help lead us to Christ so that we could partake of this city. That's their memorial of sorts. They were martyred for it. And they'll be eternally remembered for what they've done. The city is laid out as a square. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed 15. And he talked with me, had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with a reed. 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. How long is a furlong? It's an eighth of a mile. Okay, so about 660 something now. It's an eighth of a mile. That's what a furlong is. So, 12,000 furlongs. Yeah, I can't even calculate it out because I'm not all that smart to be that off the top of my head. So if I take 12,000 of it and I divide it by 8, that should tell me how many miles. 1,500 miles. 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, and 1,500 miles tall. That's New Jerusalem. Then he measured the wall. 140 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of an angel. The thickness of the wall, 72 yards thick. That's how thick the wall is that surrounds this city. Dwarfs the Great Wall of China. The construction of its wall was of jasper, of diamond. 72 yards thick of diamond, spanning 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. It's a lot of diamond. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. And remember the foundations, there's 12 of them for each of the apostles. Each of the apostles gets their own foundation. The first foundation was jasper, so one of them was diamond. The second, sapphire, which we have today. The third, chalcedony. The fourth, emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. Say that, sardonyx, there you go. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysoprase. The 11th, jacinth. The 12th, amethyst. So we have first diamond, then with the chalcedony, it's kind of a sky blue stone. It's translucent with colored stripes throughout it. We have sardonyx, which is red and white stripes throughout it. Sardius, which is quartz. Chrysolite, which is kind of a thin, yellowish gold kind of stone. The beryl, which is, it ranges from green to golden yellow, depending on how light hits it. Some even say it's aquamarine. Topaz, which we're familiar with. Chrysoprase, which is an apple green with a little gold tint to it. Jacinth, which is a transparent, kind of like a zirconium, except with reddish brown to its color. And of course, amethyst we have today. So it's a very multicolored foundation that we get to see every day that we go in and out of heaven. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl. This is where we get the term the pearly gates from. And the streets of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Everything that we see is beautiful and expensive that you can build things out of. The best of it is used to build this city. verse 22. But I saw no temple in it. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. We don't have to go to a church to see God. We don't have to go to a special place to see God. He's there with us. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it. We'd already heard that the heavens had passed away, that the old heavens are gone. There's no need for a sun or moon. For the glory of God illuminated it. It's made of diamonds. And as God walks around the city and dwells with us, and Christ walks around the city and dwells with us, the light goes everywhere. It shines through. It sparkles. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There is no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall by no means enter in it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book. There are angel stations at each of the pearly gates. And the only ones allowed to go into that city are those that have been sanctified through Christ Jesus. But only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. What do we eat? This tree will have 12 fruits, 12 different fruits, all the time on it. And we can drink freely of the river of life that flows from the throne of God. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I don't know what visions you have of what heaven will be like, but that's what the Word tells us. Then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to serve servants, things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of this prophecy, of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust. Still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. You know, that verse 11 there, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. It's been put into several songs over the decades. Johnny Cash even had a song with those words in it. What do they mean? Yeah, that's the way to look at it. The way things are the way things are. And what's been written will change. He's given us a warning through the prophecies of this book, what's going to happen ahead. It's going to happen. We can't change that. And there are going to be people that are unjust, that will rebel against God, and they're going to be unjust. And there are going to be people that do filthy things and want to cling to those filthy things, and they're going to keep doing those filthy things until these judgments occur. It's going to be righteous. Learn how to be holy. This angel is telling John, you've got a book now that tells everybody what's going to happen. But don't be surprised. Some people that are unholy are going to stay unholy, even with this word, even knowing what's to come. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his word. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. And outside are dogs and sorcerers, sexually immoral, murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. And the Spirit of Ryan says, come. And let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the word of this book, of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely, I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.